Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 98. I'm your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily by my co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. This episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by Studio Press Sites, the proven solution that gives you the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust Studio Press. Go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. Johnny,
cool dude.
What's going on, man?
Oh, you know, a little this, a little of that.
So I've got a question for you.
All right.
Have you, and I think the answer is no, but on Hack the Entrepreneur, have you ever done like a Q&A style show, like a mailbag, where you request questions from your audience and then basically take an episode and answer them?
I have not.
So I hadn't really either, but I did a couple recently over on the Assembly Call. One was just like a mailbag episode of the show where the whole thing was I just went out to Twitter, asked for questions, and then spent the whole episode just answering the questions. And then another one was a segment of our radio show, which we also post our radio show as a podcast, but we just did our third segment as a Q&A. Same thing. You know, reached out to Twitter. We have a nice Twitter following. Got a bunch of questions back and answered them. And I have to say, a few things surprised me pleasantly about this. Now, obviously, we've seen this format in many other places before. Like, it's kind of a proven format, you know, shoot from late night TV all the way to podcast. I mean, we know that this works. But for some reason, like, I hadn't necessarily thought about how much it could work with that particular show. And actually, we've done it on The Showrunner before. We used to do a Q&A section of the Showrunner, and it worked well. But what I found was, number one, the audience loved it. Like, even when it wasn't their questions being answered, they, like, I can't remember a format type for an episode or even just that one segment of the radio show that I've gotten as many positive comments on as that one, with people like emailing me, hey man, love the Q&A format. I hope you keep doing that. And the other thing that I found is, from the showrunner perspective, two things. You know, number one, having a really easy way to create content, because, I mean, how simple is that? You get questions, you answer them. It's like the oldest content marketing, you know, episode or blog post format in the book. People ask questions, you give answers. It's great. But it's also such a great way to get into the mind of your audience when you put out a call for questions and you see the patterns. You know, so you see five or six questions about this one thing and then four or five questions about this one thing, and you really see what your audience is honed in on. And for me, you know, with the Assembly Call in particular, it was such a great way to see what people are really focused on during the off season, and what kind of guests I should get for interviews, maybe what kind of blog posts I could write, in addition to obviously the questions that I could answer. So I thought maybe we could just kind of talk about the Q&A format a little bit, because I think it may be kind of an underutilized format for podcasters, and maybe something that we even want to consider, you know, doing a little bit more of on The Showrunner, because we know people have questions, and maybe we could spend a little bit more time either on, you know, on every episode, bring back the Q&A like we did before, or just do entire mailbag episodes where we just put out a call to questions and answer them, because I think it works.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's cool. I'm glad you did it, because there's some questions I have for you that have probably held me back from doing it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Let's get to those questions next on this episode of The Showrunner. All right. So, Johnny, you've got questions. So let's. So what? Because I guess the way that I look at this, especially from your perspective with Hack the Entrepreneur, is like I would think Hack the Entrepreneur is the perfect audience and the perfect topic to kind of step to the side and do something like this every now and then. So have you? Two-part question. Have you considered it and just decided not to, or is it not something that you've really considered doing?
I've considered it and decided... I've considered it and not done it, I should say, rather than decided not to. I just didn't do it. And so I'm going to say for two reasons. The first reason is sort of like technical, like how do I get people to submit questions? And just like literally just... that and letting that just be a hurdle for me. And then the other one is, what if I set out to do it and then ask people for questions and then don't get any questions?
Now, when you, so like when you're on social media, when you tweet out to folks, like, do you get a lot of responses generally? Because I guess, because that's a valid fear, I think. What did not make me afraid about that is, like, you know, when I'll tweet something on that account in particular, I always get tons of responses. And so I knew that I would. Like, I would be a little bit more nervous actually on my personal account where I don't do a whole lot and don't have quite as much engagement. And like the audience on there is much more dispersed than the assembly call where everybody's focused on one topic and I get tons of responses. Like, I knew, and I, you know, could have emailed people too and gotten questions. So, like, I wonder, like, do you think that that's a valid fear to have, or is it just something that you need to kind of test and see?
I don't think any fear like that's truly valid. you know what I mean? Like, it's valid enough that, I mean, it's a real fear.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm alone in it. But, like, channels, like, social media channels like Facebook or Twitter, whatever ones you've chosen to use, some of them are really good and some of them aren't as good, right? Twitter's not nearly as good as it once was. I still like it to, right? I still like it to find links to read and things like that. It kind of curates some stuff for me, which is cool, but having conversations and stuff, I don't do it nearly as much as I used to. And that's, I think, just strictly a platform thing. And I haven't really pushed myself into Facebook as much and that sort of thing. So I don't clearly have that.
That's why you get so much done.
Exactly. I mean, email would be a good place to do it. But then it's like, I really like the ones that have the person saying the question themselves, and then you kind of cut it in, and it's like, oh, it's a whole technical hurdle now.
See, okay, and I like that too. And that kind of kept me from doing it a little bit, as I wanted to be able to add that. But it's one of those things, and look, I think that is a positive. If you can do a Q&A and add that, I think that, you know, makes it like 100% awesome. But even if you can't do that, it could still be 80% awesome and still be really beneficial. You know, so that's one of those things. I think I feel like we kind of make an excuse if we don't do it because of that. And that's where, you know, the pursuit of perfection, you know, is the enemy of, you know, just doing something that's really good or even great. You know, we don't do it just because it's not perfect in our eyes.
Right.
And I think that can be detrimental to the audience and to the show to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's true. And so that was my reasoning. I love the idea that it is content created, not only content that's easier to create because you're just answering questions from your audience, but you're literally answering the questions of your audience, which is kind of our job as a showrunner. And
yeah.
If we're in the education sort of space, then that is our job, is to answer their questions. And normally we're just trying to assume, or from our educated guesses, put their questions in our head and then try and answer them for them throughout our content. And this is literally doing it. So it does make sense. And now I'm just thinking it's crazy that I haven't done it yet. So I guess that's it. It's literally what to do without the questions, like kind of get the ball rolling, you know? It seems like once you get it kind of going, then people will hear it and be like, oh, this is cool. I want to submit questions. But at the beginning, it's harder. Yeah. And then it was that sort of that hurdle where I love it when they're recorded and you just get to cut them in. But then that's a whole nother like set of processes and systems to set up to get those episodes produced. And it was kind of just like, oh man, that seems like a huge hurdle.
Plus, so maybe if you do it and the Q&A format really takes off, then you realize, you know what? Okay, I want to take this to the next level. You know, you've done some tests of it, and then you can, you know, add SpeakPipe or whatever, actually get people in, and you pay your editor a little bit more to do that. But you're like, hey, this is a proven format. People really like this. I'm going to invest more and double down. But you do a couple tests first to make sure it actually works. Because maybe, you know, maybe with your audience, it doesn't work. Or maybe you're not that good or natural at answering questions. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it may not work. So I think in a lot of ways, it would be smart to just kind of give it a try, very low tech, you know, just get some questions, you read them. And then if it's really working, then maybe you can double down on it with some extra technology.
So were you off the cuff, sort of? Like, would you just kind of look at the answer and do it? Or did you try and plan it out and like re-record answers? And
so this is a great question, and this is something that I wanted to get to in this, because I think I've learned a lot by doing this a couple of times now. And so just so you know, like the way that the assembly call is recorded, like it's always recorded live, so I couldn't just like record it and stop if I didn't like the answer. Because, you know, like when I did the full mailbag episode, I still broadcast it live, you know, even though it wasn't like on the radio or whatever, I still broadcast it live. I was like, hey, send me your questions, you know, at such and such time, I'm going to go live answering them. And so broadcast it live, use that as the podcast, you know, the radio show is the same thing. But what I did is I got the questions ahead of time, and I was just going to get on there and kind of wing the answers. Cause I mean, you know, I know my material, I could get on there, you know, pretty much any question that people asked, I would be able to answer. And if I couldn't, I just wouldn't pick that question to answer. But I thought, you know, I always create better content when I take a few minutes to sit down and actually, you know, not necessarily write it out verbatim, but explore the idea a little bit. Let's make sure that I actually know what I'm going to say about this. So I went through, I got the questions, you know, put them into a Google Doc, put them in order, and then just typed out real quick some thoughts just to make sure that I could organize my ideas so that instead of the mailbag episode taking 35 minutes and getting through all the information, it took 25 minutes, but I was much tighter as I went through because I didn't have to sit there and go, you know, sometimes people ask you a question the very first time you're going through it, you're kind of going through it in your head as you're answering the question. Well, I could get past that first part and then get right to the answer. And so I think that really helped being prepared with the answer, but then doing it live. So it's still off the cuff. It's still conversational. I had just put a little bit of thought into it ahead of time. And I think that really helped because I think that's one place where a Q&A or a mailbag type episode can go off the rails a little bit is if you're just thinking out loud as you're answering the questions instead of really answering the question and getting right to the answer. Now, maybe you're great at doing that off the cuff and you can just get a question, answer it, and you know your material so well. For me, I like to have a little bit of preparation to be able to make sure my answers are as tight as possible.
I like that. So I was picturing it more, I didn't know you were doing it live. I was picturing it more like, I'm assuming you don't do your, when you do the blog post ones, those aren't done live, are they?
What do you mean?
You said you were reading off some blog posts and doing...
Yeah, I do those actually too.
Those are live.
Well, we just, you know, our audience has gotten used to seeing our content produced live. So when I do the readings, I just turn on the Google Hangout and let it roll because I figure I'm recording and I want to get it on YouTube anyway, so I might as well. So yeah, I do those live as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It fits. Like our audience likes, they kind of like connecting with us doing that live thing. And I've gotten comfortable with it. So, you know, I figure it makes sense and it saves me time because when you do it on the Google Hangout, it automatically populates the YouTube video. So it's right there and I don't have to do anything extra. So yeah. So I do those live too.
Wow. Impressive.
It's fun.
So that's cool. And so probably, or maybe once you even get more comfortable with it, you might loosen up a bit. I guess like the showrunner episodes, we kind of vary it in how we do each episode sometimes. Sometimes they're very outlined. Sometimes they're not so outlined. So
what would be an example of an episode that's not so outlined?
Oh, I think it was episode 4 we did, and it really wasn't outlined.
Yes.
But the last 94 episodes since then, we've 100% structured them. So, but there's a difference. If you go back to episode 4 and listen to it and compared to this, they're very, very different.
Yes.
Hey, I think we're 2 years older.
Hey, real quick, I want to remind folks before we get too deep into this episode about what I said at the beginning of the show about Studio Press sites. which again is just an unbelievable solution if you're looking for a website builder that allows you to harness the flexible power of WordPress. And as I mentioned, StudioPress Sites, it's perfect for bloggers, for affiliate marketers, but most importantly, for podcasters like you listening right now. And that's if you're just doing a podcast, or especially, and hopefully, if you're going to add physical products or digital downloads or membership programs, StudioPress Sites really will give you the, it will grow with your site, I guess is the way to say it. And that's really important. You want that ability to grow as a showrunner. So if you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. But what about for you with Hack the Entrepreneur? What else would it take to get you to give kind of a mailbag a try? Because I'm sure, I mean, especially you've been going for 300 plus episodes, I'm sure. And you do answer a lot of questions, you know, via email and other places. But I would have to think that, you know, that your audience probably has a lot of questions. And it might be ripe for doing a mailbag.
Yeah, I think you're right. It needs a name, Jared. It needs a catchy title.
For like a Hack the Entrepreneur mailbag?
Yeah. So not the mailbag.
No, yeah, you gotta do something else. We'll think of something. Send your ideas to us on Twitter, John Naster at Jared Morris. We gotta think of your idea for that mailbag.
I think if I had that, it would be like, okay, let's do it.
Just a name?
Yeah.
You think so?
And a name that sort of ties in like a branding sort of thing to it that's like, makes sense, it sounds cool, and now that's like...
But does it... Okay, but here's my question. If you like the idea, why not just call it Mailbag? Because your audience is going to... Like here, you know, the one thing is, you know, titling it Mailbag or something simple... Because you always want to think about how is this going to look in iTunes or how is this going to look in someone's podcast feed so that they know exactly what it is. And if it just says mailbag, immediately people know. And then, you know, you've got a little extra space, maybe, what, 30 to 35 characters left where you can, you know, highlight maybe the first question or, you know, a few topics that you go over. I actually think in this case, trying to be too clever with the name could be not good. Could actually like go against what you're trying to accomplish.
Smart. What else is there besides mailbag?
Q&A.
I guess there's like ask John.
Yeah, ask John.
Ask Pat, ask Gary.
Yeah, ask John.
Ask James.
Q&A, mailbag. I mean, I think that's really about it. I mean, that, and because those are all pretty short.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think you would want to go with something like that.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Smart. I'm going to do it.
Do it. I think it'd be great. And let us know how it goes. And I think, you know, I think you listening to this episode, really consider it. And, you know, I think there are a few different considerations that you would want to make if you're deciding whether to do this. If you, you know, if you're young in your show, you know, and your show is an interview show, or you just, you haven't built up that relationship with your audience yet, I would not do this yet. I mean, I think you've really got to build up an audience. You've got to build up a relationship with them. You have to really build up that two-way communication so that you don't just send a request for questions, you know, out into cyberspace and get no response, because that's kind of demoralizing. And you certainly wouldn't want to do it like on a podcast and then not get any questions. And then, you know, later people are wondering, hey, where's that Q&A episode? And then it doesn't happen. Like that wouldn't be a good thing either. So I think you want to be careful about that. And you also want to make sure that if you're still in the process of building up your flow, that you don't interrupt kind of that flow of your show. But I think once you're in a flow, you know, like you've been, and I don't think there's necessarily a set number of episodes, but maybe 20, 25, 40, something like that. And you've established your rhythm. You've established, you know, the day when you're going to be there. You know, maybe you do this as a bonus. So it doesn't, if you're doing an interview every week, I wouldn't necessarily just skip an interview because that's what people are coming for. And you wouldn't want to take away something that they really like, but consider this as a bonus. You know, or if you don't necessarily have that exact rhythm, like maybe one week you're doing an interview, one week you're doing something else, then maybe this could fit in to, you know, to that normal weekly rhythm. But I just think you'd want to be careful. Not everybody loves the Q&A format. And from an audience perspective, so I think you'd really want to be careful removing something you know they like for this. If you're going to try it out, I would try it as a bonus, because people always love bonuses, and you know they're not really going to hurt you, because even if someone doesn't like Q&As, they can just skip it and await your normal interview that you normally do.
I like it.
People can't see your face as we talk, but I can see that you're really considering this.
Yeah, I am. I actually have to, I like did up my intro and stuff. And so right after we're done this, I have to record and the final parts of an episode for Hack the Entrepreneur. And I'm thinking of just putting in the intro that I'm asking for questions.
I think that'd be great. I'm going to send you some questions. I'm going to say, where'd you get the idea for the mailbag episode?
Because it's a great idea.
John, love this idea. Where'd it come from?
I like it. So mailbag or ask Johnny? One of the two. Well, we'll see.
I like mailbag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I like mailbag, especially if you're going to answer multiple questions. So I think that's something else. Like, I think ask Johnny, I think, is good if maybe it's one question and you're going to take the whole episode. But mailbag suggests, you know, multiple questions.
That's true.
So I kind of like that for an episode like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wonder, would you ever think of, so say I answered two or three questions, people are used to a half hour episode, and with an introduction, music, possibly an ad, and three questions and answers, there's still a bit of time. Do you think maybe you could pepper in some, like, read maybe some reviews or something from iTunes with people, and like kind of incentivize people to start hearing other ones, and like maybe get incentivized to like, oh, I should go leave them a review too?
Yeah, sure.
Cool, because I don't really ask for reviews that much anymore on my show. I just kind of don't fit it in. I feel like people just know. But if there was a way to sort of be reading other people's, then people know how to leave a rating and review if they want to. I think at this point they've heard it thousands of times. You know what I mean?
And it's just is that curse of knowledge a little bit? Do you think? Do people really know? Because they're still. I mean, we're still at a point where like less than 50% of people have listened to podcasts. So I wonder if maybe we should.
Oh, of course. I mean, well, obviously only people who listen to podcasts would know this.
Yeah.
So not as a general consensus of the population,
are more new people coming on that we should keep educating? Because I don't like I added it to an outro on a couple of shows because I noticed I hadn't been doing it either. And I'm wondering if we're taking that for granted because we're so far in this and if that's a mistake.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that somebody who just discovers podcasts is not listening to Hack the Entrepreneur first. Hmm. I don't think they're discovering podcasts through me. They're discovering it through giant means, serial, like things that just take off and like end up in Time Magazine. But then it's like, oh, there's these other shows that are about stuff that I'm into, like business. That's cool. And then, oh, what's this? But this is literally going off of just spending a lot of time like in Reddit forums and stuff and listening to people just talk, people asking like, oh, what's your favorite podcast and stuff, and people going off and then talking about like a huge show and then just like, but why do you have to continuously tell us to leave a rating and review for 2 or 3 minutes at the intro? We know. And these are like people who don't podcast. These are just people who love podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we know every show we listen to tells us this. We know it's 2017. We know.
Yeah. I don't like doing it in the intro.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That's just my thought. And so, but I thought kind of like if you could be, I do kind of like it when people read others. But I've never again found the spot in my show where I could read other people's ratings and reviews. And then that kind of just inherently is like, oh, that's cool. Or that was a funny one. I should go leave a funny one. Kind of just, you're telling people, but you're not just telling them like droning on, like go to Apple and leave us a rating and review.
Yeah.
It's more interesting. And so I thought maybe you could put that into like a mailbag thing.
I like that. Some of them. And in a mailbag, you're already in the rhythm of kind of reading anyway.
Right.
So it's all part of it. You can just read a review in between the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even say if people leave a question as a review, you'll give precedence or priority, preferential treatment to reviews that leave questions.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know, maybe, but I haven't been focusing for like a long time on iTunes in that way. And so I've actually outpaced, I have more episodes now than I have ratings and reviews.
Ooh,
which isn't good.
Mm. That's like having more people that you follow on Twitter than followers.
Yeah, I know. I have, I think like 300 and something reviews, but now I'm at like 340 shows. So it's just outpaced and it's like, oh, this is terrible.
You got to get it back. You got to get those vanity metrics back up.
It's like having more followers, more people you're following than, oh yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to do it, man. And I think that you out there listening, if you've been on the fence for either or both of the two reasons that I've been holding up literally for 200 episodes, been sort of like not consistently, but it would come to my head once in a while. And then I would just use one of those hurdles or excuses to not do it. Jared's just convinced me. Hopefully he's convinced you in the same way. If you're at like sort of 50 episodes or higher, now might be the time to sort of think about something like this.
Yeah.
So let's, maybe we could all just do it together.
Yeah, let's do it together. And again, it's not to say that you should like go and uproot your entire format and strategy and change it all to Q&A. It's just try it because you want to try it. Yeah, and there's a few things that you want to look at. You want to see how much you enjoy it and how comfortable you feel doing it. Find out what you learn from your audience, because I think that's going to be the underrated element of this, especially if you have that good two-way communication with your audience, what you learn about them, because you learn so much about what they're thinking and what they need and what kind of problems they have that you can solve. And then, of course, you want to gauge the response. And again, you know, I've had such a good response to this from the assembly call audience, which I thought it would get a good response, but not as good a response as it got. And so that's been really nice to see. And you'll want to gauge that for your show, because every show, every context, every showrunner is going to be a little bit different. But I do think it's a tried and true kind of format formula. And it, you know, it works. And so you just want to see how much it works for you and if it's something that you want to keep doing in the future. So give it a test. Let us know. No matter when you listen to this episode, send us a tweet at Jared Morris or at John Naster and let us know how it works for you, because we'd love to hear.
Boom.
And with that said, just a quick reminder to go to studiopress.com/FM, especially before April 28th, 2017, so that you can get your first month free of Studio Press Sites, and also so that you can get your migration done for you, because that's the worst part about going to any type of new hosting platform is migrating. So Studio Press Sites is going to do that for free for you, which is awesome. And you get that one free month. And then if you want more from the showrunner, go to showrunner.fm/report and get our free report. Get on the email list, because we'd love to have you there as well. And maybe we'll send out a call to our email list for questions before episode 100. I think that'd be kind of fun.
All right.
Maybe we'll do that. All right. So showrunner.fm/report, studiopress.com/FM. And we will talk to you next week on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.
Take care.